Oldie Recordings presents Jazz Brandeth on Wordplay. Brought to you by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
We've got a theme emerging. Let's move on. Enough of parrots. And our final speaker is a polymath. Not a parrot good at sums, but a man who soaks in a veritable bath of knowledge. At home in all conditions, a self-confessed friend of politicians, distinguished linguist, nothing phases him, the palindrome, the mnemonic, the acronym. Such fecund felicity, a man of many styles. You try rhyming with Brandreth. Will you welcome Giles? Oh, Giles Brandreth!
Brilliant! Oh! Just to be in the presence of Barry Cryer, I mean, honestly, it is so exciting to be here. And Barry is completely marvellous. He channels Moses, George Ruby, and Kermit the Frog all at the same time. He is brilliant. I'm so thrilled to be here. I do want to salute the magazine for having this lunch. I think the publisher, the editor, and indeed the old team in the shape of Jeremy and all the rest are doing a brilliant job. And this is a magazine that, from my point of view, as a reader, goes from strength to strength with every issue. So well done, team. I'm happy to say that this building is now under new ownership since yesterday. Indeed, I believe they began serving the lunch yesterday and will still be serving it tomorrow. So if you haven't had yours, do stay around. It will eventually get to you. I love this building. I love its heritage. I love, in this room, mostly, I usually love what is above the table. The lovely ceiling and those glorious pictures here. And I've been coming to this building, to Simpsons and the Strand, for a long, long time. The first time I came into this building was many years ago. I was a young producer in the theatre, and I was trying to persuade Sir Ralph Richardson to appear in a play. And he suggested that we have lunch here, downstairs, in the Carvery. And so I arrived very excited to meet this great actor, Sir Ralph Richardson, who I knew was eccentric and I knew could be a little bit naughty, but I hoped, since I was giving him the lunch, I would have some of his attention. I had none of his attention. We sat at the same table, but he seemed to be fixated with a man he thought he knew across the dining room. He was waving at this fellow, saying, "Hello, hello. Oh, hello, Stanley. Is that you, Stanley Jackson?" And the man turned towards Sir Ralph. And Sir Ralph said, "Oh, Stanley, how you've changed. Oh, Stanley, where's that lovely head of ginger hair you used to have? You've gone all bald, Stanley. And your whiskers, you used to have lovely whiskers. You've shaved them all off. Oh, and Stanley, your face, it used to be lovely and round and roly-poly, and now it's all long and lugubrious. Oh, Stanley." At which point the man intervened to say, I'm not Stanley Jackson." "Oh, changed your name as well, have you?" I'm thinking of Sir Ralph Richardson because my book is called Wordplay, and it's a celebration of words and language, and actors of that generation, like Sir Ralph, knew how to use the language properly. I, as a boy, had the privilege of being given elocution lessons by the great Sir Donald Sinden, who passed away a couple of years ago, well into his 90s. And when I was a boy at school, he taught me the mantra that he used throughout his life, because he understood that it's vowels that give you volume and consonants that give you clarity. Vowels for volume, consonants for clarity. And he had an exercise that he would perform in the dressing room before any performance. He would simply stand in front of the mirror, as I do now every morning, and repeat the following. Hip bath, lavatory, lavatory, bidet, bidet, douche. I'll just do it once more in case you all want to join in. Hip bath, hip bath, lavatory, lavatory, bidet, bidet, douche. has a certain ring to it, doesn't you? Some of you here, because I see there are some younger people here, may not know what a bidet is. You don't need to know. It's probably in Mr. Fenby's book, because it is a French creation. It's a continental thing, and after the referendum, we'll have no truck with it anyway. So, it's my rallying cry, as the English Le Pen, ban the bidet. Totally useless. Though, if you don't know what it is, you don't really need to know what it is, but it became quite fashionable in the 50s and 60s to have one of these in your bathroom. And there is the lovely story of the great film director, Billy Wilder, you remember him from directing Some Like It Hot, who was making a movie in France in the 1950s, and his wife was very anxious to have the first bidet in Hollywood. And so she instructed her husband, while he was making the movie in Paris, to find a bidet and ship it back to Los Angeles. And he looked everywhere for this bidet, did Billy Wilder, couldn't find one, so eventually had to send his wife a telegram simply saying, unable find bidet, stop, suggest headstand in shower, stop. My book is full of stories about words and language. I love words. Words are what define us. Words are what make us human. As the great philosopher Bertrand Russell once said, no matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that his parents were poor but honest. Only words can do that. Words do define us. People are, speaking of France and all things French, for me, George W. Bush is defined by the time that he said, the trouble with the French is they don't have a word for entrepreneur. I remember being at one of these lunches with the great John Prescott. I'm a fan of John Prescott. And he has a wonderful way with words. I mean, John Prescott manages to use the English language like a Rubik cube. He just does extraordinary things with words. I don't know whether it was at this lunch, but I remember hearing John Prescott say, the green belt, it's a Labour idea, and we're determined to build on it. Winston Churchill said that in the long run, words are the only thing that live forever. And perhaps he's right. Words are the only thing that live forever. In 1588, Queen Elizabeth I, facing her troops at Tilbury in anticipation of the arrival of the Spanish Armada, said, although I have the body of a weak and feeble woman, I have the heart and stomach of a king, and of a king of England too. And as I said that, glancing around the room, there were several people finishing the sentence. You know those words spoken in 1588, not written down, a speech given by an English queen 400 years later and more in this room, those words still resonate. That is the power of language. And it is amazing to me that I can hear a woman's voice, Elizabeth I's voice speaking to me across 4.5 centuries when I cannot hear a thing that is being said out of the television set that is 4.5 feet away. We have had the guy in, he has adjusted the sound box, he has moved the speakers, we cannot comprehend a word that is being said on the television. It is an absolute nightmare. I don't know, did any of you manage to, did you watch the thing last year, Wolf Hall? Yeah. Well, you won't have seen it, obviously, because it was all in the dark. I mean, he was... and if you understood it, you did better than I did. All the mumbling and muttering that went on, I did not understand a word of it. Fortunately, and I'm just giving this as a tip, since we are, some of us are oldies here, I have discovered the subtitles. And the subtitles solve the... Once you've got, I mean, I was playing about with a zapper one day, and poop, oh, up, pop the subtitles. So I've got them up. I have not yet been able to get them off the screen. I'm waiting for the appropriate grandchild to come round for that task. But there they are up there, and they are very helpful, because with the dramas, you do actually get the script, so you can actually follow what is going on. But with the news programmes, it really is quite difficult, because it's done by a computer. The computer listens to the live broadcast and then types up what it thinks it hears, sometimes with pretty curious results. You know, I was watching Wimbledon earlier in the summer, and then I suddenly read the words, Andy Murray has become mature. I thought, what is going on here? Actually, what had been said was, Andy Murray has become mature. It's 2 years ago, I was watching the funeral of Margaret Thatcher, which was held a couple of years ago in order that her children could push up the price of the clothes. And anyway, I was watching this. I was watching this program, and there I was, Zappa in one hand, hanky in the other, watching this funeral. And suddenly, I read on the screen, had the subtitles up. I suddenly read these words: "There will now be a moment's violence." The next thing I read was, "The arch bitch will now speak." What had actually been said was, "There will now be a moment's silence. The archbishop will now speak." But it's amazing what can happen in the world of words. I love them. I think we should celebrate them, relish them, enjoy them more than we do. And that is what my little book Wordplay is all about. And in a moment, we shall be passing among you, we three authors, so that you may touch our garb. You will want to do that. I mean, here is a man who has met Helen Mirren's auntie. That's something. I'm not sure he'd actually met Rasputin or was just telling us the story, but anyway, he seems to have known a lot of interesting people, okay? And does a very good impression of Lord Longford when he was young. Over here, we have somebody who was a personal friend of Charles de Gaulle, which is fantastic. So you are meeting living history there. I can claim to actually know Barry Cryer. So feel free not only to touch us, but to buy our books. We would like that. We have children. Mike has 6/7 grandchildren to support. I'm only still working in the desperate way that I am because I've discovered as the years go by that money is the one thing that does keep you in touch with your children. So feel free to buy the books. We'll write anything in them. I was in Scotland recently. J.K. Rowling, I wrote in every other book. I'm not proud. It was in Scotland, too, that I discovered the definition of a gentleman. A gentleman is somebody who knows how to play the bagpipes, but doesn't. I'm going to end, if I may, with a piece of poetry. Barry, who is an adornment to these lunches, if I may say so, has beautifully constructed little verses to introduce each of our speakers, which is fantastic. And I'm going to end with a short poem. One of the people that I celebrate in my book, and I'm delighted my two sisters are here today because they will have known my father, and their father too, is the same person. That's the line he took. My mother went along with it. What the hell? But he was born in 1910, and that means that he was brought up before the era of the Wii, before the era of radio, before the era of television. And he and his sisters and his brother, they grew up entertaining themselves with word games, with poems. And my father had in the rattle bag of his mind a raft of wonderful poetry that to the end of his day was a comfort to him and which he would recite at the drop of a hat. And learning poetry by heart is a wonderful thing, and it can extend your life by 3 to 5 years. Ah, it's interesting to know that, isn't it? 3 to 5 years. Learn a new poem a week, and your life can be extended by 3 to 5 years, your mental acuity. So I'm going to end with a little poem. It's 4 lines by Hilaire Belloc. And for me, it sums up the special nature of these curious lunches. All you people come, it's amazing, East Grinstead must be totally empty this afternoon. All you people, you come to London, I mean, Marylebone Station, I mean, the clatter of Zimmer frames is extraordinary on the, you know, the second Tuesday in the month, and you gather at this upstairs room as though it were a Masonic lodge. A secret society meets and eats this interesting lunch, which I must say, was a lot better than usual. And why do you do it? I think because through this magazine, we have found a curious friend that once a month flops through the letterbox, and actually when we open it, there's always something intriguing. And in fact, there's something on every page. And it's a wonderful thing to create a magazine that can provide friendship and can unite people and have them come to a gathering like this. So as Christmas approaches, let me give you this little poem by Hilaire Belloc. From quiet homes and first beginning out to the undiscovered ends, there's nothing worth the wear of winning but laughter and the love of friends. Thank you for your laughter and well done on the friendship that's at the Oldie Lunch.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.